Hello, it's Tuesday the 26th of March. I'm Alex von Tunzelman and I might seize Trump Tower anyway, just for the lulz. Welcome back to Paper Cuts, the modern newspaper review. Every day we bet the whole show on 22 Black and spin the roulette wheel of the British press, hoping to win our fortune, or at least not lose our trousers. Thanks to all you angels who've joined the Paper Cuts Supporters Club, we always welcome more supporters. But if you're already a supporter, or if you want to help us out and can't really pay up, here's what you can do. Just send three of your mates a text, WhatsApp or email telling them we rule. Include a link to papercutsshow.co.uk. There's a link in the show notes. If they listen and subscribe, that's a total win. Now, here are the top stories for today's show. Lawyers, guns and money. A double day in court for America's sweetheart, Donald Trump. Talking about my generation. Is the fact that you're a boomer, Gen X, millennial or Gen Z just a fancy form of horoscope? And brace yourselves, Nadine Dorries feels sexier than ever at 66 and she wants to tell you all about it. Welcome to Paper Cuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Paper Cuts, where we're all sexier than ever at 66. I'm Alex von Tunzelman, and with me today is journalist and soon-to-be stacked babe Holly Thomas. Hi, Holly.
Morning.
And also with me is comedian and leggy blonde beauty Daniel Fox. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Alex.
So thrilling. Holly, what are the broadsheet front pages looking like today?
So the I is leading with this China spying story. The headline is UK cabinet clash on how to fight China spy threat. So this is the cabinet basically unable to agree over how to respond to China following the revelations that they've carried out state-sponsored attempts to spy on 43 MPs and peers by hacking their emails and stealing election data. It has to be said, not the most like private election data. The electoral registers are pretty easy. It seems to be more of a kind of like, see, we can do this, as opposed to like a massive data breach. But yeah, former Conservative leader Ian Duncan Smith, who is one of the MPs who was targeted, reckons that the UK response is, quote, like an elephant giving birth to a mouse.
Well, that's so very poetic of him.
Yeah.
Right. Is that happening? I suppose.
I don't know.
What's the image?
Yeah. And yeah, the Deputy PM, Oliver Dowden, reckons there's a very strong case for tighter controls on China, which is a massive U-turn on his previous position, which is that this is all woke nonsense that we're making too much of a fuss about.
Yeah, if I wanted someone to take on China, I'm sure I'd pick that guy. Okay, very encouraging. How about The Guardian?
So The Guardian, it's pretty depressing front page, to be honest. It's leading with Israel isolated after UN Security Council demands Gaza ceasefire. And then again, we've got MPs urge tougher action over China hack. The Times is going with China set to be declared a threat to national security.
More on that story.
More on that. And then on the right, we have vow to curb harassment poisoning our country. So that's Michael Gove taking on harassment. So, yeah.
Right.
That's good. That's encouraging.
My money's on harassment.
And then The Telegraph is going with secret court for speeding and TV fines must end. So that's this call for like vulnerable people who sort of often are just unaware that they're racking up these fines are being prosecuted in private and that's got to go. Mm-hmm. And then we've got a big picture of tractors ploughing into the capital because farmers basically reckon they're getting a raw deal by the government. But they're taking quite a cute like course of action, which is they've basically just, I heard one of them describe it on the radio yesterday as like a carnival.
Oh,
so that's kind
that's
of nice.
Jolly. Yeah, okay, that's very cheery. Daniel, how about the tabloids?
Hello. Well, the Daily Mail is also going with the China thing of fury at feeble rebuke to China, but they're giving equal space at the top to a piece by Nadine Dorries. Nadine, you are a very sexy woman. Call me. Why at 66 men are suddenly telling me I'm so desirable by Nadine Dorries. I think we're coming to that later.
We're on that
very,
soon.
Very excited for that. The Sun is going with Brave Kate Saves Lives. She sparks huge surge in cancer symptom checks. The Daily Mirror is also going with the Kate story, the Kate effect, huge surge in web cancer checks after Princess's statement. And then The Star, as always, is tackling the real issues, Alex. Vampires and zombies do walk among us. Boffin reveals slightly disturbing news.
Slightly disturbing news. Okay. I mean, I don't know why we're talking about any other stories today, to
like,
be honest.
Given that this has been confirmed by Boffin, this feels more important than anything else happening today. Like, do what you like with China and Trump, but real-life vampires exist and walk among us thanks to psychological condition that compels them to drink blood, which is nice, says Jerry Layton. So,
ew.
You know, it's it's big stuff.
Big stuff. Holly, there has been some rather shocking breaking news that came in too late for these headlines about a bridge collapse in Baltimore. What's happened there?
Yeah, it's pretty horrible. So essentially, a huge ship has collided with the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, which collapsed. And the photos are insane. It looks like a horror movie. The bridge is literally in the water, and apparently there are trucks hanging off it. At least 20 people are missing. There are rescue crews there. Several cars have fallen into the water. And yeah, officials are calling it a mass casualty multi-agency accident. It's literally happened within the last couple of hours. So all the details are very raw, but it looks like it's going to be massive today.
Now, Donald Trump had his day in court yesterday. Never wanted to do things by halves. Instead, he did it twice. First, he was on the hook for a bond of $464 million after losing a civil fraud trial. Second, there was a hearing in a New York criminal court over the charge he falsified business records to hide hush money payments to adult film actress Stormy Daniels. Holly, how did it all go for the big guy?
So let's start with the hush money thing, because I feel like this is the one people just kind of think Stormy Daniels and are less familiar with the finer stuff because there are just so many cases. So yeah, basically, Trump's defense team were trying to persuade the judge to delay his case again. It was and still is going to be his first criminal trial, hoping obviously to push it beyond the November election. They didn't succeed. The date has been set for April 15th.
Oh, that's definitely not beyond November.
It's not, no. I mean, who knows how long it'll take, but Trump did not seem pleased with this. They basically tried to argue that they didn't have enough time to go through, I think it was like 170,000 pages of documents. But these were documents that Trump's team requested. And the judge was like, well, A, you kind of asked for it. And also B, only about 300 of these are relevant to the case. The case itself, there are two sides to it. One is the hush money allegedly paid to Stormy Daniels in 2016 to stop her talking about her alleged affair with Donald Trump. So hush money in and of itself, like paying someone hush money, isn't a crime. But Michael Cohen, who was Trump's fixer, basically, pleaded guilty in federal court to an electoral crime, which is like not declaring electoral expenses. It counted as an electoral expense because it was to help him win the election. And basically, the Attorney General dealing with this case now is using that as a precedent to say Trump should also be tried. So, yeah, they're taking this falsification of business records misdemeanor and bumping it up to a felony by saying he falsified his business records in order to commit an electoral crime. So, yeah, there are lots of moving parts.
And,
yeah.
And Daniel, we haven't sort of had Stormy Daniels' big moment yet, but surely that'll be worth waiting for, won't it?
I absolutely can't wait for it. But also while we were reading that, I just really regretted that I didn't ask you to call me Stormy Daniels at the start when you were dolling up the sexy nicknames. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Yeah, waiting for her big moment.
Yeah.
I hope she's got something good.
I mean, she's pretty great and she doesn't seem intimidated at all by the usual kind of Trump bluster, does she? Mm. She's somebody who really isn't afraid to kind of go for it. And so, Holly, the other trial, now this was this great big bond, $464 million, that he was supposed to pay by yesterday and was pretty clear he couldn't, wasn't it?
Yes. Although, hilariously, Trump completely undermined his own lawyer's argument that he couldn't pay it by posting on Truth Social, due to like my amazing diligence and hard work, I have more than $500 million in cash. And so this was just like, shut up. The whole point is that you don't, Trump. Miraculously, that bond has been reduced to $175 million, which he has to pay within the next 10 days. He does have a windfall in the pipeline. So Truth Social allegedly is about to generate apparently about $3 billion for him, which if it's true, that more than doubles his entire net worth, which I think Forbes put at something like $2 billion. And a lot of that is tied up in his property, the value of which, obviously, as the civil fraud case has demonstrated, is in dispute.
Slightly hard to believe that Truth Social is worth as much as all of those things.
I was about to say.
Yeah, because I think it was something like $42 billion that Elon Musk bought Twitter for, which was thought to be like a massive kind of overpay.
Way more than it's worth,
It's certainly a lot more than it's worth now. So yeah, he also, like, he's definitely been working out things out in his favour. So now, because now he's basically in charge of the RNC, donations paid to the RNC go to Trump's legal account, the account that pays his legal bills.
So this is the Republican National Committee, right?
Yep.
So if you donate to that sort of political party, as it were,
yes, it goes.
He
it
gets
goes,
his mitts on it first.
Yes.
Oh my God, I'm having flashbacks to being in a primary school and holding a bake sale for the RSPB. I'm being like, oh, all the money from these cupcakes is going to the birds. Absolutely. And they're just spending it on Pokemon cards.
Now, you may not give a monkey's what a brand consultant thinks about you, but they sure as heck have thoughts. In The Times, someone called Fiona Harkin, who's something called Director of Foresight at the Future Laboratory, shares her latest research about your generation. Daniel, what does the crystal ball lady say about you?
Well, so I am on the sort of later end of millennial, 94 baby. Mm-hmm. So for me, she says that we are weirdly the most optimistic generation, which I don't think is true.
Absolutely not.
But I think that's based off of, well, they said it's based off American millennials, but like really the generation that had like the emo phase and Panic at the Disco and all of that. So mine, I don't think so. That we are, well, the examples that she gives for us of role models is Ed Sheeran and Ray.
Okay.
Which.
So you're all very successful singers.
We are all successful singers, which feels deranged as a group of people. That, yeah, we're, so Brand says it's the late achievers. Born between 1981 and 1996, the largest generation in the UK. I didn't know that. Basically, the generation disappointment.
Oh.
Generation thought great things were coming and now they're not, can't afford a house, can't afford an avocado. taking comfort in things like, well, one thing she says is, perhaps understandably, they've clung on to the toys they played with as children. Millennial Lego fans include Ed Sheeran, the singer, and Lego now puts on adult-only evenings where people can build things together, which is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
I genuinely, though, have a millennial friend who every Christmas buys himself like a really complicated Lego builder, and it does seem to bring him like exponentially more joy than anything else all year. So.
My instinct immediately was like, no, we don't do that. And then I remembered I still do all the pastimes of my teenage years, AKA playing The Sims and crying. So
I just watch Buffy on a loop.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Genuinely.
I mean, we all do that.
A bit of Will and Grace. The other ones she calls the boomers the bedrocker generation because they have a very active sex life.
Oh, more on this to come on the show.
Yeah. The middlescents are the Gen X. Born between 1965 and 1980. Most likely to be looking after both elderly parents and children. A skeptical bunch who have watched the generation before them have great success in the workplace and they have struggled to get to the same place. Gen Z, the contradictory consumer, is what they're calling them, because there's that sort of combo of being interested in things like social justice and climate and stuff like that, and shopping, like thrifting is like a big thing. But at the same time, also buying stuff off like Shein and Temu. Like wildly true that they're
totally environmentally and socially destructive.
Absolutely, you're right. And their role models are Greta Thunberg and Billie Eilish, which is a
okay, that's a combo.
The one I will say is the middlescent group. I'm gonna hop back to them for a second.
This is me.
This is you, and your role model, your like avatars of your generation, is the entrepreneur Greg Wallace.
What?
And the actress Drew Barrymore. And I just want to really take issue with the description of Greg Wallace as the entrepreneur Greg Wallace. In what world is like, do you know Greg Wallace? Who's that? The entrepreneur. Oh, yes.
Oh, him.
He is the man off MasterChef who goes, caw! Like, that's all he is. Please, what's he entrepreneured? Like, he has become a bit of a daddy in recent years. That's all I'll say.
I mean, not really.
Not really. He's a father of the year, Greg Wallace.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's very muscly now.
Oh, God. It's so that
I won't hear slander about Daddy Greg, thank you.
I'm sorry, but maybe I'm just like a very sad, bitter millennial, but like how happy he looks with himself in that photo where he's like topless and flexing. he's not entirely topless because he's wearing what looks like a very expensive watch.
Yeah.
Makes me feel angry.
Yeah.
I want to smash his phone.
I want to clarify, I think he's ghastly. And then it finally talks about the anxious alpha, which is like the latest kind of generation coming through.
God, there's another lot.
Yeah.
We've gone back to the beginning. Alpha.
Alpha. We've gone back to the... Which means that right now, because they're turning like 13, 14 now, right now the brand new generation being born as we speak, Generation Beta.
Oh, my God.
Imagine.
Yeah, that's a little bit embarrassing.
The generation that comes out going, sorry.
I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saeeda Varsi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim.
Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves. The kind of things that people say don't touch, We are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now on Paper Cuts, onto our fave bit, except when it's rubbish, it's the headlines of the day. What do you have for us, Holly?
So the Star has a photo of a very kind of like puffed Tom Cruise legging it through London with a kind of a bloodstained shirt. Apparently he's filming for the 8th Mission Impossible film.
Right. He does look quite puffy.
He does. I've never seen a Mission Impossible film. My understanding is that he just runs all the time.
I think so yeah.
Yeah. So this tracks. Headline is Capital in Cruise Control. So also in the Star, this is a story about hotel bed bugs being up 278%.
No.
So that's still like a thing, because I feel like we were all panicking about bed bugs last summer and then we forgot. Headline is Bitemare. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's all right. It's pretty good. That's,
better than the other one.
Daniel, how about you?
Hi. Well, over in the Sun, there is a... I think this might have been written by a bear. Saturday Night Takeaway fans are furious, accusing host Anton Deck of wasting porridge. They basically did some skit where they sort of splashed around a couple of big bowls of porridge.
Can't
and they have
that.
Titled this one... Well out of order.
Oh, that's quite good. I don't mind that.
Or it does just sound like a Scottish person. The most horrifying thing that you'll hear today is...
And we still haven't done Nadine Dorries' sex life.
And we've not even covered Nadine Dorries' sex life. Is this one, which is about... It is about a new cosmetic treatment. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we've all had it. It is where the sperm of a trout is injected into your face.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't know what more you need explaining there. That seems very logical to me. This writer has gone and basically had... Well, she was having her quarterly Botox done, she says. And then her esthetician suggested that she also get this new treatment where they inject trout sperm under your skin. Jennifer Aniston has it, apparently.
No!
It is the most disgusting thing I've had to read in some time. Apparently, people often get salmon sperm injected. And she says...
What? Who are these people?
It just feels like estheticians are like running bets with each other. It's like, what do you reckon we'll do?
Yeah, from that point where they like let people just be stung by bees, they're now onto this one.
And they're all just there, what, kind of wanking off fish.
She literally says at one point, certainly my careers advisor at school never mentioned salmon wanking as a viable post-university option, but...
God, I was joking, for God's sake!
You could have written it. Was this you?
Oh, my God.
You are glowing. trout, which may sound like salmon's slightly chavier sibling, is actually the cream of the crop. But anyway, they have titled this one, I have trout sperm jab like Jen. It's the next big fin in beauty.
Oh, God.
It's just horrible.
It's just horrifying.
From
I don't
all
even
angles.
Like the feeling of moisturizer on my skin. this is too much.
Listen, I'm going to give it a go. Anything for beauty.
Now, in between the news and the sport is a hotbed of weird that we like to call the features sections. And today, the Daily Mail has the unmissable Nadine Dorries column. Yes, she still exists and she's still at it. Literally, Daniel.
Mm-hmm. I'm delighted by this.
Of course
you are. Absolutely unhinged piece by Nadine Dorries titled, Why... In fact, do you know what? She's giving her Jilly Cooper in this. I'm going to read it in the voice I think it's meant to be written in. Why at 66 men are suddenly telling me I'm sexy and desirable. Nadine's having a new lease of life. At first, I thought he was in need of support as his hand suddenly slipped into mine. Had the large quantity of alcohol he had consumed left him unsteady on his feet when he got up from the table? No. Suddenly he leant inward and with a brandy heavy breath whispered in my ear, Nadine, you are a very sexy and desirable woman. Call me. I promise you won't regret it. You have nothing to lose. It is Mills and Boone.
Who is this man?
I don't know.
This drunk man.
Well, I mean, it's
reeking of brandy.
It sounds like a sexy Borat, actually. You are a very sexy and desirable woman. It's not like... She says something similar has taken place four times in the past 6 weeks.
I've been counting.
Yeah. Over lunch, I asked a friend what on earth she thought what was going on. Had a neon sign with the word available suddenly switched on above my head. It's just, I mean, it's delicious. It's delicious writing. It's bonkers. She basically goes on to say that she thinks she's sort of moved on from her grief. And she's finished the grieving process. And now she is... on heat. And men are just chasing after her like, what was that? You know, the Looney Tunes thing where the dog floats with its tongue hanging out?
I don't know, I think you're Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah, you're right. Yes, very much the skunk as well. Yeah. Like, yeah, all of those.
That situation. She's the cat constantly trying to escape from various...
In the last 6 weeks. She says Fern Britton. She feels very similar to her.
God, they're all at it.
Yeah, it's a real...
And there's a big pic of Marie Helvin. I mean, the subs must be quite pleased because Nadine's kind of little sort of personal picture is herself in this sort of bright pink jumpsuit. And she's managed to find a picture of Marie Helvin in what appears to be the same jumpsuit.
The same jumpsuit and like a giant sort of leather, I want to say belt, but it's more gladiatorial than that. It's quite
sort of cummerbund.
Corset kind of cummerbund thing, yeah. It's a weird thing because it walks the line between being very sort of, you know, sex positive and like empowering. But also when her friend suggests maybe time to get back in the saddle, she says, what? I dropped my voice, gulped back my wine and checked that other diners weren't eavesdropping. You mean sex? I'm not a character in a Jilly Cooper novel, for God's sake, I hissed.
You've just written yourself
as one. Just written yourself
like
as a character.
Before.
In a Jilly Cooper novel, yeah, literally.
But a 66-year-old ingenue.
Yeah, right. Also begging her to update her references. You mean sex? Come on.
But let's be honest, Jilly Cooper is eternal.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that she ends it by saying, even though I am no spring chicken... I need to be more like Fern. It's no spring chicken, but she's after a bit of winter cock.
And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to Holly Thomas.
Thank you.
Thanks to Daniel Fox.
Oh, thank you.
And don't forget the Paper Cuts Supporters Club. Ditch those ads and get more fun from just £3.60 a month. Head over to papercutsshow.co.uk or follow the link in the show notes. We'd just like to thank some of our supporters for helping to make the show today.
Thanks a bunch to Christopher Miller.
Thank you, darling Andrew Fahey.
And thanks, mate, to the mononymical Pesky or Peshki. Not sure how to pronounce it, but anyway, you're cool. Thank you. I've been Alex von Tunzelman, and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when Lego has told a California police department to stop disguising the faces of suspects in photos with its intellectual property in the form of minifig heads. Cops are bricking it. See you tomorrow.
Paper Cuts was written and presented by Alex von Tunzelman with Holly Thomas and Daniel Fox. The producer was Liam Tate with assistant production by Adam Wright. Music and audio production was by me, Simon Williams. The group editor was Andrew Harrison. The managing editor was Jacob Jarvis. And the executive producer was Martin Boytosh. Paper Cuts is a Portmasters production.